All right, good morning. This is another Muthonomics lecture slash podcast. We are into February of 2018, and this morning I want to talk about the fact that there are a lot of really popular ideas that are really, really bad. This idea came to me actually early this morning. Somebody put into one of my social media feeds a link to a Joe Rogan audio clip. And Joe Rogan, for those of you who may not know, if you're outside of America, he was the host of a show here called Fear Factor back probably 15 years plus ago, where he would have contestants do increasingly banal stunts in order to try to win $50,000. Typically, it was some sort of physical challenge, followed by some sort of eating challenge, followed by some sort of claustrophobia challenge. So, you know, he would have people, you know, walk across a plank between two buildings and test their fear of heights. And then he'd have people eat a bucket full of cockroaches and rat feces. Just if you've seen Idiocracy, that would pretty much entail sort of what that show was all about. But I'm just going to play through this clip. If you want to see the source, you can go to YouTube and look for Joe Rogan word porn, like pornography, word porn. And I guess there's this YouTube channel called Word Porn, where they just take famous, semi-famous people and take clips of them speaking about different things. So Joe Rogan, we'll just start this and we'll talk about this. It's been viewed almost a million times, and Joe Rogan obviously has one of the most popular podcasts on the iTunes. So we'll get through this ad here. I'm just going to play it and kind of pause it. Here we go. Wordporn.com.
We don't have to have fast food workers. We don't have to have people who work shit jobs. We don't have to.
Okay, so that's how he starts out. We don't have to have fast food workers, and we don't have to have people who work what he says as shit jobs. I mean, I guess that's true. The problem with all of these people who make these statements about improving society, the problem is that they're all collectivists, and the problem is that they ignore basic, simple rules. And in this case, supply and demand. If you look up fast food statistics, if you Google fast food statistics, you'll find out that the average American spends $1,200 a year on fast food. Now, taking a conservative estimate of 300 million Americans, and you multiply that out, you come up with $360 billion a year. So clearly, there's a demand for fast food, and where there is a demand, you're going to find people who take an interest in meeting that demand, in supplying that demand. So his premise of, oh, we don't need to have everybody working a crap job or a shit job, as he says, it sounds good, and it probably appeals to a lot of people, and they go, oh, yeah, we don't need to be working these crappy jobs. Well, you're ignoring supply and demand straight out of the gate. And the demand says that it's a $360 billion industry, and obviously people and companies are going to supply that demand. So we'll keep going here, and we'll kind of get into what he offers as alternatives.
We need to figure out how to restructure society so everybody somehow or another plays a part, has something to contribute, has something to share.
Okay, so then he says we need to figure out a way to restructure society. Anytime you hear that crap, you know that they're communist, socialist, either neo-Nazi or neo-Stalin or some sort of collectivist crap that has over 100-year history of not working. So I love all these people who come on here and start you know, chanting and cheerleading for restructuring society so that everybody can... What do you call America, homeboy? You want a place where everybody has an opportunity or everybody has a place? Look at the country that we live in. Look at the world in which we live in. You have the opportunity for everybody to play a part. And the cold hard fact is that people who are working those quote-unquote shit jobs at the fast food restaurant, they're playing a part. And the thing that these people forget, and this is very important to remember, and I read about this a lot in free market economic books, is these pontificators who want to rail against the free market system and try to move everybody towards cowherding them into this collectivist mentality, they forget that when you look at a particular demographic, it's a snapshot. So people look at, oh, well, fast food workers are poor and they can barely make ends meet. Yeah, but in 20 years, the vast majority of those fast food workers have moved on. They were working fast food while they were going to school, or they were working fast food when they were younger, and they have moved on, and they have gotten better jobs, and they have been promoted, and they've gotten raises, and their earning power has gone up quite a bit. So that's one thing that we don't take into account here. We just think that there's this static fast food population that is enslaved to McDonald's for the 75 years that they're alive on this planet. And that simply is just a misrepresentation of the facts. Go into a McDonald's and the vast majority of employees that you see in there are young people. And you might see a manager who might be, you know, 35 to 55, 65. Every now and then you might see a little bit older of a person, but when you go into a fast food restaurant, these people are young and they're not enslaved to the Burger King Corporation working there in perpetuity for the rest of their lives. Generations of workers tend to get promoted, get a better education, take advantage of more opportunities, use their work experience to build their resume, to move on to better paying jobs. So, that's that. All right. So play.
That's what a real society is supposed to be like. I've give you some coconuts. You give me some fish. You know, we make a deal. And
what a clown. That's what a real society is built on. I give you some coconuts. You give me some fish. How is that different than McDonald's? I'm giving you some cash, you're giving me a cheeseburger. I'm giving you $20, and you're giving me a 20-piece nugget meal with a large fry, a soda, and some McDoubles. Like, that's his idea of utopia? I give you some coconuts, and then you give me some fish? What, so everybody's supposed to have a coconut tree? Everybody's supposed to fish? Like, what about people that live in the desert? What are they going to do? I mean, it's so juvenile.
You do it back and forth and left and right. And when there's nothing to contribute, then you start looking, the president needs to give us jobs. We need jobs. So it's...
Okay, now that I agree on, okay? Well, he says back and forth, left and right. That's called free market. It's back and forth. It's left and right. I give you $20. You give me a couple fast food meals. Your company gives you, your fast food company gives you $8.50 an hour, and you get tired of it, so you quit and you go get an education, or you go learn a trade, or you go start a business, or you get a second job and save up. That's what a free market is. And I do agree with him when he says, then the mistake is looking at the president saying, oh, give me jobs, give me jobs. I do agree with that, because that's clearly, we're not supposed to look to the president to give us jobs. So he is on point with that.
Instead of something to contribute, you just find something to do with your time. And then it becomes about doing that more than it becomes about finding something to contribute. So society gets wrapped around becoming a part of a machine. Society, instead of becoming a bunch of individuals that are expressing themselves in unique ways, and everybody sort of borrows and shares and sells this and you sell that, and we all sort of figure out how we can contribute in a society, we got sidetracked and diverted into these boxes that they call companies and corporations.
Oh, here we go. The evil company and the evil corporation. We got sidetracked into these evil entities that have wrapped us around the axle and enslaved us to the horrible, horrible lifestyle of having a house and a car and the freedom to travel where we want and the freedom to set our own schedules and all these things. These companies have enslaved us because we've lost sight of the fact that everyone's unique and everyone has something to contribute. Now, two things going on here. One, can the world actually sustain 7 billion podcasters and pontificators? Okay. All these people that want to be thought leaders, they're sustained by people that are working hard. You need to recognize that. So, and that's the point of this Muthanomics thing, is not to sit around and pontificate on these ethereal sort of pie in the sky, we need to reorganize society bullcrap. It's to tell you that there's no secret sauce, and the secret sauce is working hard. That's the secret sauce. You want to change the circumstances of your life, put on some blinders, and work. You want to change your current living situation, put on some blinders, turn off the video games, turn off the social media, find something to work at, to work on, whether it's a skill or knowledge or a trade or even a fast food job, or a bagging groceries job. Change comes through hard work. End of story. So the question here is, can the world sustain 7 billion podcasters and 7 billion thought leaders? And that's kind of what we have going on here. Everybody's clamoring for the top of the pyramid because they see that it requires no work up there. And it's no different than feudal systems in the past where lords and royalty and all these people wanted to climb to the top of the societal pyramid in order to avoid the hard work of plowing and hunting and farming and blacksmithing. Okay, so that's what's going on here is these thought leaders are actually keeping everybody down by causing them to spend all their energy thinking about, oh, how do we reorganize society? When really, if you want to change your circumstances, start working. Get off your freaking couch, throw your Xbox in the trash can, and go to work. This is something I'm very proud of with our children. Our 13-year-old son has already outlined his plan to become a bag boy at a grocery store up the street when he turns 14. He can't wait to work, and he's been this way since he's 9, 10 years old, going over mowing lawns, cutting weeds, cleaning windows. He just wants to work, and that is where life change comes from. And it's what Joe Rogan is saying, oh, in an ideal society, I give some, you give some, we take, it's a left and right, constant. That's what a free market is, moron Rogan. My son going over and knocking on the neighbor's door and saying, hey, I'll clean your windows for $5. Hey, I'll mow your lawn for $10. Hey, I'll pull your weeds for a few bucks. That's what a free market is, and it centers on and is built on work. So you need to be aware of that, because these guys, all these pontificators and thinkers, they want to keep the masses down in the trenches of these theorizing, how do we get to utopia, instead of just telling them, hey, go bust your ass and you'll actually succeed. So that's my beef. The other thing that I find alarming here is that Joe Rogan and these types of, big old intellectual types, even though he kind of spins himself as being like the common man intellectual, is that they have a weird relationship between time and product and productive contribution. So he said in that clip, so we've been trapped and we've made the mistake of exchanging our time in these companies instead of contributing things to society. Well, what is he's divorcing time from the contribution, and that I don't understand, because if you're in a company, you're contributing to society. If you're a healthcare worker, you're contributing to people's well-being. If you are a retail worker, you are contributing to people buying stuff. And when they buy stuff, they employ people. It's a strange relationship. It's like, if you're not spending your time doing what Joe Rogan is doing, which is sitting around and bumping his gums about the ills of evil companies, then you're a slave in the system. Well, here's the dirty secret. He needs you to continue to be a slave in that system in order to make his life be the equivalent of a feudal lord at the top of the podcasting pyramid. So you'd be well served to turn off all these people, probably including myself, and just get to freaking work. Find something to work at and work hard at it. Golly sakes. All right, we'll keep going.
We and we got stuck into these containers, stuck. They got cubicles or offices, and we got forced into this system. So our time, instead of it being invested in making pottery or fixing cars or doing something where you have a passion or you have some sort of a...
Making pottery or fixing cars. Okay, here's the thing that really chaps my hide, so to speak, with these people is... They're like NFL cornerbacks. Their memory is about 0.2 seconds long. They have perpetual amnesia. So these evil corporations have enslaved us and forced us into these cubicles. Yeah, as opposed to actual forced slavery that has marked every society throughout the history of the world. You know, we're so focused. When the whole Confederate statue thing blew up here in the United States last year in the media, and it was hysteria, and we have to take these statues down. The thing I kept telling my kids is we have to remember that all of human history is marked with those in power enslaving those who are not in power. That's just the way human history has worked. It's the way it's shaken out. So even long before American slavery, those in power always enslaved those that weren't in power. And Joe Rogan's making the point, oh, we're so enslaved in these cubicles. Oh, with air conditioning, with health benefits. And he even says later, oh yeah, you got your dental plan, sort of, you know, mockingly. Oh, wow, these slave owners are so horrible these days that they give us air conditioning and they give us medical plans and they give us benefits and they give us raises. Oh, and oh, by the way, you have the freedom to quit whenever you want to and go do something else. Like, yeah, I sort of get the thing of, oh yeah, the man, you know, the greedy, you know, CEO making 200 million a year while everybody else is, you know, barely eking out a living, barely paying their bills. I get that, okay? I get that sentiment, and I think that in those extreme situations, it is unjust, and I think it's out of whack, and it's unbalanced. But compared, we can't lose sight of the fact that you have the freedom to quit, to go do something else. And probably what I would even encourage you to do, and this is advice from Bob Parsons, who founded GoDaddy, and I don't know much about the guy, I just heard this story, and it stuck out to me. When he was starting his software company, he continued to work his full-time job and then would come home and he would build his software company till 3 a.m. down in his basement. So not only do you have the freedom to quit if you don't like your job or you don't like your cubicle, you have the freedom to go home and work on your own business when you're not enslaved in your cubicle. So, yeah, I'm not saying that that free market capitalism is perfect, because obviously nothing is perfect in a fallen world. But these people that have 0.2 second memory banks and they have perpetual amnesia about the how human history has gone, they really just have such a bad perspective on how much actual freedom we have today in comparison to millions and millions and millions of our ancestors. I mean, just think about it. You know, if you were a slave in the 1800s in the South and you tried to run away, there's a good chance you would have gotten killed, hung. There's an extremely, almost guaranteed chance you would have gotten the crap beat out of you if they caught you and brought you back. I mean, you could walk in today, flip your boss the double bird, tell him to go pound sand, and walk out the door, and nothing physical is going to happen to you. Nobody's going to kill you. Nobody's going to beat you up. So stop playing the modern-day victim card and actually put your oversensitive victimhood in contrast to people that were actually victims in the past history of mankind. I mean, I was reading about, and this is something that I think it's across the board. My sixth grader came home yesterday and he said, "Hey Dad, was America built on violence?" And I said, "Why?" And he said, "Well, because our teacher kind of went off today on how America was built on violence." And I started chuckling and I said, "Yeah, of course it was built on violence, as was every other country in the history of the world." I mean, why are we so mentally soft these days that we can't recognize? I just banged my computer, so there's apologies if I broke your eardrums. Why can't we recognize that every country throughout history has a history of violence? Every world power has a history of violence. Even those that aren't world powers have had a history of violence. Cuba has a history of violence, and they're clearly not a world power. Venezuela has a history of violence, and save for their oil reserves, they're not a world power. You look at the history of these countries. Look at the history of Panama fighting with Colombia, and them going back and forth over control of who controls Panama. You can look at pretty much pick any region in the world, pick any country, and read about their history for 15 minutes, and you'll see that it is chock full of violence. And we just have to accept that. I don't get this soft, "Oh, America's so mean because we're built on violence. Oh, the horrors." Yeah, violence is horrific. Yeah, it is, but it's not unique to America. These people with zero, with perpetual amnesia and still trying to seek some weird utopia. They drive me insane. Joe Rogan. All right, we're halfway through this thing.
Connection to. Instead of that, you've sold your life to sit in a box and work for a machine, an uncaring machine that demands productivity. It doesn't understand you. It doesn't want to understand you. It has a bunch of very strict things in order to keep the humor at a minimum in the office. Just
okay, so very key. He says you've sold yourself. Well, that's a big difference than getting rounded up, chained up, and having somebody else sell you to something. So it's like self-inflicted victimhood? I don't really understand. Like, just get off your ass and work hard. Yeah, of course the market demands productivity. Life demands productivity. If it took you 80 years to complete the first grade, you'd die at a first grade education level. Of course, life demands productivity. If you're going to be a coconut exchanger with a fisherman, you damn well better be productive, because when we come together to exchange, if you haven't gathered your coconuts in an efficient manner, and I've collected my fish in an efficient manner, man, there's a lot of fish going on, fish in an efficient manner, that's like a tongue twister, then I'm going to find a different coconut provider, a-hole. Oh my gosh, this guy is just, like coconuts are just going to fall from the sky, and fish are just going to leap into my bucket, and then we're just going to sit around and smile and just make a trade. Yet you damn well better collect your coconuts in an efficient manner. Oh my gosh, this guy is a moron.
Just in case one of you fuckheads says some stupid
okay.
sex joke.
Oh, here we go. So now he's really leveling with this by dropping the F-bomb. Oh, way to be real, Joe Rogan, in your 1% podcasting ivory tower pyramid. Go pound sand, Joe Rogan.
To get some sued, and they have to give somebody $1 million. So get it together.
Okay, and I do agree with him there. He does say, oh, it's very, you know, there's no humor, because if somebody cracks a joke that offends somebody, then they're going to get sued. I do agree with this. We're way oversensitive. Like, what happened to the phrase, sticks and stones can break my bones, but words will never hurt me? Like, grow some skin. Like, stop being like a, what are those, this would probably offend people in our society today, but like that weak rice paper that they put like sushi rolls in. Stop being so weak. Grow some skin. Like, get an epidermis, get some calluses built up. Holy smokes. So I do agree with him on that.
And this is your life now.
Yep.
No natural behavior. Everybody's wearing clothes they don't want to wear. Everybody's showing up and doing something they don't want to do. They have no connection to. That's the problem.
Why is he assuming that everybody's wearing clothes they don't want to wear? I mean, they're going to the store. They're picking out their own personal style. Never in the history of the world have we had more clothing options. There's startups galore focused on your own style. You can get a style box and you pick options and it sends you stuff that you want to wear that you'll love. Why is he assuming this? Why? Because it fits his stupid narrative of keeping you discontented so that you don't work hard, so that you continue to fantasize by listening to his bullshit.
Problem with our society. And then what's the reward for all this stuff? Go home, get a big TV. Go home, you're going to get a shiny belt buckle. You're going to get a nice purse. You're going to wear shoes that you couldn't afford last week. You're going to get that dream.
Okay, so a belt buckle, shoes, a purse. They're going and getting what they want, so obviously they're wearing what they want, moron. Like, you deconstructed and disproved your entire argument in about a 9-second span. Goodness gracious.
Dream car, and every week we're chasing down this new object, and every week we're trying to fill this hole in this sad shadow of a life that we've been left with after work.
Okay, I will stop and say that I do agree with him on some front on that, on a contentment level. Like, if you're working to try to find contentment, you're going to be gravely disappointed, because our souls are infinite. They persist into eternity, according to the Holy Scriptures. And everybody that's not a Christian right now is going, oh, geez, why'd this guy have to pull out the Bible on me? But I think he's onto something there. If we're working to find ultimate happiness through acquiring things, obviously that's not going to work. And you can look at King Solomon, you can look at Tiger Woods, you can look at pretty much anybody who, MC Hammer, Mike Tyson, Evander Holyfield, you can look at people, Bernie Madoff, people who have acquired tremendous amounts of monetary wealth and have ended up miserable or poor and destitute or bankrupt. So Tommy Morrison comes to mind. I mean, there's just so many examples of people who have acquired the world and as much of it as they can, and they've ended up miserable. So he is onto a point there. But the solution is then not to go back and say, oh, we just all need to go collect coconuts and smoke marijuana. I mean, come on, bro.
You work 8 to whatever to hours a day plus commuting, and then you're like this. And that's your life. That's your real fuck.
Oh, so I'm sorry. After you work, you're tired. My bad. What? Again, going back to his own ideal society of exchanging fish and coconut, he assumes they're going to fall from the tree. Manna from heaven. No, you're going to be tired after fishing. Have you ever fished? It takes forever to get a catch. And in his analogy, I'm actually envisioning spear fishermen. So, yeah. Oh my gosh, this guy, what is he doing? Oh, and this is you after work. Ugh, I'm so tired. Yeah, work is tiring. And it's supposed to be. And the benefit is you get a good night's rest and you get up the next day and you get to bust your ass again. Again, the solution to changing your life circumstances is not listening to all these morons fantasizing about some fake utopia that will never be realized. The solution is you turning all that crap off, working hard. Pick your topic, pick your subject, pick your discipline, pick your trade, pick your skill, and work your fingernails to the bone, getting better at it. And every podcast, every lecture, every Muthonomics thing, I should just scream that into the microphone for 5 minutes and then tell you to turn this crap off and get back to work. Thankfully, we're under 30 seconds here.
All that other stuff is not your life anymore. All that other stuff is work. And most of us have committed to that. I know you've been there before and I've been there before. And we understand that it's a trap because we got out of it. But for the people that are in it, a lot of times they don't even understand it's a trap. They just think it's a good job. They think they got dental. I'm doing really good. I got my own parking spots, got my name on it. You're just a piece of a heartless, shitty machine that makes money.
There he goes, throwing dental, good dental plan under the bus. And you're just part of a heartless, shitty machine that makes money. Yeah, because monarchs were full of compassion towards the serfs. Because princes and kings and lords were just so gracious and just warm and loving and generous to their subjects. Oh yeah, and the caste system in India has just proven to be so great at just giving everybody an equal opportunity to go make pottery. Do you realize that there's probably people enslaved making pottery right now that would probably punch Joe Rogan in the face if they heard his Americanized millionaire spoiled rotten ASS talk about how the ideal world would be sitting around and making pottery? Tell that to all the textile workers that are jammed in sweatshops in Bangladesh, cranking out all the clothes that supposedly nobody wants to wear. I mean, come on, bro. You're killing me. And the fact that you're so popular just makes me sad for our future. Like, if there's people actually accepting these ideas, we are effed. Because they're going to just perpetuate that, and everybody's going to continue to clamor to be at the top of the pyramid, and they're going to have a life full of ease built on the backs of everyone else buying into their fake communist utopia bullshit. So, he's ridiculous. Escape society or remain a slave. You know what? Just the unbelievable. I mean, how isn't there a social media S storm floating around just on the title of that stupid audio clip? We're not. You're equating working in corporate America to being a slave. Read the history of what slaves endured, not just American slaves. Read about South American slaves. Read about the Mayans, what they did to their slaves. Atrocious. Read about Eastern Europe, Russia, Stalin. Read about what they did to their slaves. Holy smokes. If you want to get offended at Joe Rogan equating working a cush corporate job with dental and the ability to buy a bigger house and a nicer car and a new purse and a nice belt buckle to slavery. The worst analogy in the history of podcasting. So stop listening to all these pontificators. Get to work on whatever it is your craft is, what your skill is, what your talent is, and maybe you don't even have one yet. Then pick one and then get to work on getting good at it. Maybe you don't even have one yet. Maybe you are a burger flipper. Great, keep flipping burgers and pick something that you can learn while you're flipping burgers at night. Flip burgers during the day, learn something at night. Get good at something at night. But here's the dirty little secret that Muthonomics is built upon. It all comes back to hard work. Hard work is a requirement. It is a given. There is no escaping it. And the sooner you embrace that, the sooner you accept that, the sooner you stop trying to skirt that, the sooner you're going to find yourself being productive and happy. Even in the midst of busting your ass and being exhausted and going, like Joe Rogan said, oh, I'm so tired. Good. You should be tired at the end of every day. That's the point. So stop trying to escape work. Joe Rogan, that's all he's doing with this thing. He's escaping work by belittling it and striking an emotional chord with everybody who is going, man, I am tired of flipping these stupid burgers. Yeah, you are. And so the solution is not to reorganize society so you can try to get on the top of the pyramid. The solution is, hey, work harder, work smarter, work more efficiently, learn something on the side. And I'm not saying you need to go to school. I mean, I'm on the fence with our kids going to school. Unless they get some scholarship that everything's paid for, I see no point in them going to school and racking up $100,000 plus in college tuition loans. Because I sure as H-E double hockey sticks ain't paying for that. Unless, and I tell them this, the only way you should go to college is that if you have a scholarship that it's all paid for, or the particular field you want to go into requires that education. So a medical doctor, a dentist, an engineer, something along those lines where it's actually required. Like, don't go to college and rack up $100,000 and come out with a gender studies degree. Terrible idea. Don't go to college and rack up $100,000 and come out with some Eastern European art theory. Like, that's not going to serve you well. Because there's no demand for it. Okay. And when there's no demand for it, nobody's going to supply it. So you're going to have a gender studies degree and you're going to be back at working at Burger King anyway. So don't do that. Don't do that. Bottom line, find something where there is demand. Work your ass off at it in supplying that demand, and circumstances of your life will change. It's very, very simple. Very, very simple. Find something that's in demand. Work your ass off supplying that demand, and the life circumstances will change. And the people who really, really change their life circumstances, they actually create the demand, and then they work their ass off fulfilling it. Steve Jobs. Other than Star Trek, and it's actually fun going back and watching old Star Trek episodes, like Star Trek The Next Generation, the original Star Trek, and going, oh, wow, those people were really forward-thinking. Like in the Star Trek Next Generation in 1988 episode, there was essentially an iPad in the show. And the kids were like, wow, they have an iPad. And I was like, yeah, but nobody else was thinking that. Very few people were thinking that. So Steve Jobs comes along with iPhone, and he creates that demand. So rule of thumb, if you're not that bright, or you're not a creative genius like Steve Jobs, which chances are most of us are not, even though I think you can educate yourself and train yourself and be diligent in reading and studying in order to open up those pathways to increase the chances that you'll be more creative, be more ingenious. Two basic rules of thumb. One, find where there's demand, work your ass off fulfilling it, life circumstances will change. And if you really want life circumstances to change, create the demand. Then work your ass off fulfilling that demand. But it all comes back to hard work. Stop listening to Joe Rogan. Stop listening to Bernie Sanders. Stop listening to all of these people who are at the top of the pyramid, and they're selling you discontented nonsense in order for themselves to remain at the top of the pyramid. Work your ass off, and you'll flatten out the pyramid. Peace. Have a good day.